Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, March 31st. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are in the Big Book. There is a solution, page 27, the fifth paragraph down. Upon hearing this, our friend, through one paragraph ending with, did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. The comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kathy P., the 12 Traditions, Susan G. The readers of the text are Anne S.C.H., Dana P., and Chanel T. The share ID for Monday, March 30th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,324. That's 23324. And Tuesday, March 31st, 7 a.m. meeting is 23,326. That's 23326. And our newcomer greeter today is going to be Chanel T. subbing. And announcements person is Robin P. Thank you all for your service this month. Our OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Kathy P. from Oregon to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Kathy.
Morning, Mo. Thank you, Team Tuesday, for all your service this month. Steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Kathy P. from Oregon. And I will now ask Susan G. from Tennessee to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Mo. Hi, everybody. Susan G. in Tennessee, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, though we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me give some service, and I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Susan G. She's from Tennessee. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 27 of There Is a Solution, the fifth paragraph down. Upon hearing this, our friend, through one paragraph ending, did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. The comments are on that one paragraph only, and I will now ask Anne SCH to begin reading and commenting. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, everyone. My name is Anne SCH, and I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in British Columbia, Canada. Upon hearing this, our friend was somewhat relieved, for he reflected that after all, he was a good church member. This hope, however, was destroyed by the doctors telling him that while his religious convictions were very good, in his case, they did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. So this paragraph, the last sentence of the previous paragraph, this is what it's referring back to, is upon what we know now as Roland Hazard, who's hearing a well-noted psychiatrist tell him that, you know, with individuals, the methods which I employed are successful. This is the doctor speaking, but I have never been successful with an alcoholic of your description. And the most impactful thing about this paragraph is, in fact, the last sentence where, the Roland was, his hope was destroyed by the doctor telling him that his religious convictions were very good. And, you know, he was saying, your convictions are good, but they don't spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. So for me, this tells me that there has to be a connection between my heart and my mind. And if there's not a connection between those two things, I don't have a spiritual connection with God. And I may be sitting in a church pew getting information and being convicted of certain behaviors. But most of the week, if I'm not stepping out into action, working out what I know I'm understanding in my head to come into my heart or welcome it into my heart and have a heartfelt, that work, that action step of working to get whatever's in my heart into my head and asking God to put it there. That this is a struggle. This was a struggle for me because there was the food, the chaotic behaviors. They were all blocks. My head was all messed up. And so because my thinking was all messed up, any kind of understanding about God didn't go in. And when it did go in, it didn't somehow, I don't know, it didn't work. But it was only when the garbage got out of the way and I made that connection between heart and mind that God truly came into my life. Mm-hmm. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Anne SCH from BC, Canada. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share? We're on page 27 of There Is a Solution, the fifth paragraph down. Upon hearing this, our friend, and it ends with, did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. Who would like to share?
Hi, this is Deanna C. in California.
Deanna C. in California. How have you got your Deanna?
Gayla S. in California.
Got you, Gayla. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. Paul R., California.
I got you, Paul.
Lisa W. in Denver.
Lisa F.
Okay, I heard a Lisa W. first.
Doreen
I got
N.
Wait a minute, Lisa W., and then I got Liesl F., and then
Janie G. in Michigan.
Was that Doreen?
Doreen N. Yes.
Doreen N., and there was one more, and I'll stop there.
Janie G. in Michigan.
Something G in Michigan. I
Janie
didn't get your
G.
first name.
Jamie.
Jamie? Jamie. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you. Jamie G. All right. I have got Deanna C., Gayla S., Paul R., Lisa W., Liesl F., Doreen. I missed your last initial. I think it's N. And Jamie C. And we'll stop there. Thanks. That's a nice lineup. And everybody mute except Deanna. Good morning, Deanna.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. I don't often share. I'm Deanna C. from California, but I love this paragraph. We all have a favorite paragraph. The thing that I love about this is that I happen to be a pastor. And one of the things that I learned is that there is a difference between religion and relationship. And religious convictions, as our lead-in speaker told us, you know, that's a lot of knowledge that we can get sitting in a location and hearing from religious teachers. But there's a difference between having a relationship with the God of your understanding and studying about that person. And what I learned for myself is I had let the God of my understanding into so many areas of my life. Come on into my finances. I'll turn that and surrender that to you. I'll surrender my career. I'll surrender my family. I'll surrender every area of my life. But my food, no. I got that. I can handle that on my own. And when I got desperate enough, I realized I can't handle that on my own. I need a power greater than myself. I need the God of my understanding to give me their strength, their love, and their way of life so that I can live a life in a recovered state with my compulsive overeating disease in remission. And once I open the door, I always say that God is like a gentleman. I use he pronouns. God's not going to barge their way into that area of my life. God waits for the invitation. And when I invited God into that area of my life and said, I need your help, that's when I got the help that I needed. And it was that relationship, that's that spiritual awakening, that I need to know a relationship with the God of my understanding and ask for their help. And that has changed my life in ways that I can't even ask for, dream of, or imagine. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Deanna C., and she is from California. Up next is Gayla S., followed by Paul R. Good morning, Gayla.
Yes, Gayla here. Thank you, everyone. I loved this part of the Big Book when I entered 12 Steps and I started in OA. I had already hit the wall. I had been born, was born into a faith. I was fifth generation in my faith of my family. The harder I pushed to practice my religion, the worse things got. I just didn't know how to apply the gospel teachings, as they would call them, in my faith. I was in a dysfunctional family. The principles were taught, but the living of the principles were not taught in my home. And somehow it just didn't translate. I have a disease. If I have lung cancer, going to church every Sunday is not going to remedy that. It just won't. Miracles do happen within faiths, under the umbrella of faiths, and I'm a firm believer in my faith, but I just couldn't access. It was so confusing to me. I was looking side to side as to how to apply the principles. Some leadership was very more punitive in the application of my faith. Others were more gentle. The concept of God that I personally had developed wasn't working. So when I got into the rooms and read this, it gave me an understanding of why what I was doing was not working. And one of the slogans I heard often was religion for people who don't want to go to hell. Spirituality is for people who have already been there and never, ever want to go back. I had already been in hell. My life was hell. Totally. I wanted to escape it. So I'll be forever grateful. I held on to my faith in my particular case. I held on to my faith while I did the application of the 12 steps. And there was no conflict between the two, but OA enriched my faith. It taught me how to do what my religion had taught me step by step. And I found success. And I will pass. Thank you again so very, very much.
Thank you very much. That is Gayla S. from California. Up next is Paul R., followed by Lisa W. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, all. Thanks for everyone for the share. It's grateful to be here in this meeting today and just be a part of this strong fellowship, you know, because the reason why I can say I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and I recovered for today from this hopeless state of mind and body, that I don't have to have this ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once at guiding forces, and like it was just taking over all my time and spaces, and it kept me on this pain, and I just didn't know why I'm doing what I'm doing, and why I'm eating the way how I'm eating, and you know, why am I getting up at 2 a.m. in the middle of the night and on the way to a grocery store to get a, you know, to get this run going on. Why? I don't understand. And you know, because I became part of this meeting and part of this fellowship, that I can say that I'm not hopeless today. And you know, that allergies has been taken care of quite a while, but that mind, I have to take care of it, and as a fact, it's actually God has to take care of it, and has to have God help with it every day on awakening, you know, and throughout the day I have to catch myself, you know, I whenever I get irritated and agitated, I have to catch myself, and I have to review my day, and I have to work with others, you know, like working others is saving my life, like saving my life and saving my days, that I have to think about myself, then I can get out of my own way. And, you know, it's so interesting. Like, I love that, like, you know, that he was good at the church member. I thought I was in AA before 2.5 years, and I mean, before I came into the program, or I actually was just trying to get into the program, but I had such a hard time to give up the food. I was like, I can give up anything, but not the food. Don't take it away. And it was the toughest things, I think, to give up that. You're going to take away my sugar, and you're going to take away my comfort. That's my only thing. Please don't take it away. And end of the day, I found out that if I give up this thing, that's one thing, then I can have everything, because it's just, it gave me and allowed me the space to actually find out who I am not, because that's not who I am. And through Alcoholics Anonymous and Overeat Anonymous, through this, 89 page in the big book, I can find out that who I'm not and who I really meant to be and who I'm supposed to be in this life. And I will pass. Thank you for letting me to share.
Perfect. Thank you very much. That's Paul R., and he's from California. Up next is Lisa W., followed by Lisa F. Good morning, Lisa. Press star 1 to unmute.
Thank you so much for the reminder. Lisa W. from Denver. Recovering compulsive overeater. Everyone has shared exactly what my experience has been pretty closely. But I know the specifics, you know, can be a little different. So I'm going to share my, I've been in 12-step recovery for over 30 years and have had just incredible spiritual awakenings, and have pretty rock solid faith. I've seen so many miracles. But when I had first gotten in OA, 16 years ago, I prayed for, you know, the compulsive eating to be removed, and prayed for, you know, when my urges would come, and nothing happened. And so I just kind of gave up on prayer and connecting with God. And in and out over the years, and this time I came back 9 months ago, and, you know, my sponsor just kept saying, it's your spiritual connection. And when I was working the steps, we got to step 2, and it's like, I don't know if I can believe, I don't believe. And so she said, are you willing to believe? And I just thought, I'm willing to act, you know, we talked about willing to act as if my higher power will relieve me from this, restore me to sanity. And it's been little by little. I haven't seen neutrality. I don't know what the magic is about working the steps and coming to the program, making outreach calls, and pausing. I try to pause so I can hear my higher power. I don't know if I do, but I do get some peace. So something is working, and I wouldn't say like I have all this confidence that God is removing it from me, but I can't, it's undeniable that something's happening. And, you know, I think maybe we're asked to seek. And it's not always that we find, but it's in the seeking that we get relief. Just wanted to share in hopes that, you know, there might be somebody else who needed to hear that, who may not be all the way into having had that relationship with the higher power. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much. That was Lisa W. from Denver, Colorado. Up next is Liesl F., followed by Doreen N. Good morning, Liesl.
Hey, this is Liesl F., recovered compulsive eater. Just wanted to share my recovery one day at a time. this program has just led me to God. My disease, through this, I discovered I need help, and then therefore I have God. I remember being so afraid to put down the artificial sweeteners. Like, it was my, I was what I thought recovered for about a year in program, but then still using artificial sweeteners to control my food. And it was like the one thing I couldn't let go. But I learned that the mind, my mind processes it like regular sugar, and put me on my knees quivering. I was so afraid the stronghold that this crap had over my brain. I remember sweating in prayer. And then thanks to program, I discovered scripture, and I would recite it and pray on my knees until I was just sweating. And it was such a spiritual battle, I can't even tell you the stronghold that's had on me. And I finally got rid of it. And then God put in my heart dreams I never dared to dream. I'll tell you what, I thought I never wanted to be a mom. I recoiled at the idea. And all of a sudden, I put down that artificial sweetener, surrendered it, a clear mind, and I want to be a mom. What is that? It's God right there, right? Like, this is... He's changing my mind. He's putting big dreams in my heart. He's helping me to get out of self and have purpose and fulfill a life that he wants me to fulfill. And it's, of course, you know, every day I have to surrender and hand it over. But this is just my testimony as to, you put down the food and then big dreams can just, I have the ability to dream again. It used to just be one day at a time. Now I have dreams. I have an imagination. My mind was so preoccupied. And of course, it's still, I still have the food chatter. When the chatter comes in, I just say, God, please direct my mind. I'm having food thoughts. Like, what would you have me be? What would you have me see? And just redirect, because it's not just about compulsive eating. It's like I can compulsively loop on anything. So programs help me to... I'm just constantly redirecting my thoughts. But anyway, my testimony is this. I put the food down, major spiritual experience, dreams in my heart, and they're still coming. You know, I'm not, used to be so afraid to dream. It wasn't worthy. I don't know, but now I have that childlike dream again, and then one last thing I'm going to share. Oh, okay. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. That's Liesl F. in California. Up next is Doreen N., followed by Jamie G., I think it is. Liesl. Press star 1 to unmute.
Sorry about that. I didn't unmute myself. Good morning, everyone. Doreen from Texas. Grateful compulsive overeater, exercise bulimic. Right now, I've been in and out of the room since 1995, and, you know, my story is not unique at all. You know, I had to put it down, got complacent. Like, I got this. We'll be all right. We've gone to meetings. We've lost your weight. Like, you know, kind of like I graduated, and I'm like, I'll never graduate. Ever. And I am back with a sponsor. And the great part is I have not had a spiritual experience, but I am getting it. I just did the doctor's opinion and read it. I've read it twice in the past month. The sponsor, because my other sponsor died. And I'm like, God is helping me. I'm in the hospitalization period, and boy, those cravings, man, they're strong. And so I make calls and said, look, man, I said, food's, I work in a supermarket. So those foods, bakery department are getting to me. I can't take another minute of this. So I go and make a call, and I go outside with some privacy, and I just know that there is a God for me. And he is removing my compulsion. Now, I still have cravings and still have food thoughts. It's not going to go away automatically, and I feel still really weak. But I have hope, and I know that it works. And without a higher power, this disease is too much for me. It's a big gorilla, you know, and it's ready to kick my butt. And I am tired. I'm weary. I'm battle weary. You know, good orderly directions. And I have had God enter my life because I'm desperate. You know, I'm tired of losing and gaining the same, you know, 30, 40 pounds. It gets old. It's been old. And I thought just that, you know, control my food and I'll be all right. No, that doesn't work at all because the food thoughts come back. And the food thought could lead to me eating. And the bottom line is that I made a call, but I paused. Like, I wanted something in the bakery department so bad because I'm still in, you know, having those cravings and stuff like that. And I can tell you that I was able to pause. The pause is God to me. And then I made a call and let them know, and they said, that is so wonderful. And now you now don't go directly to the food, and you have the pause, and I have hopes and dreams of having another spiritual awakening and a spiritual experience. And I already have had some spiritual experiences. I really love this program, and you, without people in the program, okay, I'll wrap up. I wouldn't be able to do this, and God is the one who has all the power. I have none past.
Thank you very much. That's Doreen Ann, and she's from Texas. Before I take Jamie G., let me let you know where we're at. We're on page 27 of There Is a Solution, the fifth paragraph down, beginning with, upon hearing this, our friend, and it ends with, did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. And after Jamie, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning. Good morning, Mo. This is Jamie G. in Michigan. And this reading this morning reminded me of two experiences I've had recently that gave me insight into my journey and program. One was I went to a gardening conference. My husband and my mother-in-law are master gardeners, and I've been going for, I don't know, maybe 7 years, and I've even started to know, like, Latin names of some of the plants, and I enjoy listening to the speaker and getting all the knowledge, but that doesn't, attending the conference doesn't make me a master gardener. I can get knowledge, you know, and this can happen in program too. I can get knowledge, and then I can come to a belief, you know, knowledge that I of this disease and belief that I am a compulsive overeater and not a compulsive overeater, but then to have the spiritual experience of doing it, I actually have to be like a master gardener and like go out and do the gardening, which includes weeding and fertilizing, planting, pruning, all those things that I have to do. And yet it's God that still does the growth. I don't do that. So that just made me think of that. And the second experience was I know a person who was recently diagnosed with a type of blood cancer. And they got the diagnosis. And then they heard the treatment from the doctor of what they needed to do. But then they had been reluctant to go and get that treatment done. And so that is another good insight for me in terms of this program. Like, I can know I am a compulsive overeater, have the diagnosis. I can hear the treatment. I can go to meetings and attend these things and hear other people talk about their journey. But that's not the same thing as me getting the treatment myself. So that just made me really have some insight into my own program. You know, it's like a neither my knowledge about myself, self-knowledge avails me nothing, knowledge about my disease avails me nothing, and even knowledge about God avails me nothing, is what this pointed out to me. You know, I have to have that relationship with God, and I have to allow God to do what only God can do in me. and that requires me surrendering. And I have to get my hands off. It's like me being on the operating table and trying to tell the surgeon how to do the job, you know. I can't do that. I've got to fully surrender and trust God to just use whatever tools he needs to get the, you know, get the tumor out of me, my character defects out of me, and to let me heal. So I'm really thankful for these things and for the big book to help direct my mind to what I need to do, not just be here and listen to it and give assent, but also to be willing to, you know, to surrender and have that experience.
Oh, perfect. All right. Thank you very much. And it's Jamie C. in Michigan. I had it as Jamie. Thank you very much, Janie. Although we've Thank you very much. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Julie B., Oregon.
Julie B.
Patrick O. from Nashville.
Patrick O. Who was after Patrick?
Hiya P. in Colorado.
Hiya
Courtney J.
Who was that?
Courtney J. North Carolina.
I got you. Okay. I think that's all because, yeah, I think that's all I have time for. Courtney J. All right. I have Julie B., Patrick O., Hiya P., and Courtney J. And if I have time, I'll take maybe one or two more after this, but I think this will round us out. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, Mo. Thank you so much. This is Julie B. in Oregon, compulsive overeater, sugar addict. Oh, I love this passage, and I love the shares. Thank you, everybody. It's so great that we're able to choose our own conception and our own higher power as we're seeking this spiritual experience. For me, my spiritual path aligns with the Ojibwe or Chippewa way of looking at things. And I have a big window in the front of my house. Every day I look out my window and I see rain clouds and it's raining because I live at the Oregon coast. And every day I wake up and I look out there and I'm going, ugh, why is it raining? Ugh, why is it so gray? Ugh, why can't it be sunny? You know, and why? And I get so annoyed about it. And then, you know, I reached out to my spirit and asked for guidance on that. I looked out the window again and I saw something else. I saw probably about 15 beautiful Douglas fir trees, 200 feet tall or more, in the background of my view that I'm looking at. And I'm like, if it wasn't for the rain, I wouldn't have these gorgeous, gorgeous trees to look at. And the way that the heights were arranged, it looked like five or six of them were the elders, and then maybe five or six of them were the aunties. And then I saw some that looked like the sisters. And ever since I noticed something different and changed my thought process, I feel nothing but gratitude every time I look out my window. If it's raining, amen, it's helping these trees. So you can have a spiritual experience on a daily basis. It's what you look at and then how you think about it. It just gives me a spiritual lift and a boost for my day, and to know that I'm surrounded by people and trees who love me. So thank you, everybody, and I pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Julie B. from Oregon. Up next is Patrick O., followed by Hiya P. Good morning, Patrick.
Hello, everybody. This is Patrick from Nashville, Tennessee. Grateful to be here and listening. I just wanted to quick share, I have no idea if I've had a spiritual experience. I've been coming in OA for a long time, and what happened was in 2023, I witnessed someone in the program get a sponsor from Vision for You, and over the couple of months, just watch her get abstinent and just she worked the steps with her sponsor and went through the big book, and by the third or fourth month, I asked her, I said, well, maybe you could ask your sponsor to find me a sponsor to help me do the same thing, and her sponsor said she would sponsor me. And I was like, oh, okay. I never had a female sponsor before. But so anyway, with her, it started with the doctor's opinion. She just gave me suggestions. I went with the doctor's opinion. That day when I went through the homework she gave me, I went through my house and got rid of all the ingredients that were triggering me. And that's where it started. You know, that's been my experience 2.5 years ago. And then her and I went through the big book. Not all of it, but a lot of it we read together. I shut up and listened to what her experience, strength, and hope. And she's agnostic, so that all this spiritual stuff, the God stuff, didn't really apply when we went through it. And basically, what I've just done is what she's done, and I just keep trying to now practice the altruistic part of the program, being available for others and help in trying to find ways to be of service, and continue to tweak my plan of eating. There's certain things over the last couple of years that things that I took away and then reapply or re-added to my food, my plan of eating, and then decided maybe not and took them away again. But I'm not doing any of this alone. So I have no idea if I had a spiritual experience. All I do know is that by the help of you guys and the big book and the directions in this book, I have been free in a lot of ways that I've never experienced before in all the years that I've been coming around OA. And I'm so grateful for that. So again, for me, it started with the doctor's opinion. That's where it all started, and getting abstinent, and from there, just following what my sponsor suggested, and I continue to try to do that on a daily basis. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Patrick O, and he's from Tennessee. Up next is Haya P, followed by Courtney J. Good morning, Haya.
Hi, thanks, Mo. Hi, everybody. This is Chaya P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic and restrictor in Colorado for the next 2 weeks, and then I'm going to be living in New Jersey. I first want to just welcome anyone who's new to Overeaters Anonymous, or maybe you're new to this meeting. This is a great meeting. We meet every day except Saturdays, and it's just a really, really strong Overeaters Anonymous meeting that's called A Vision for You, named after the chapter in the book. And or maybe you've been coming around and you're struggling. Somebody I saw posted on a chat this morning, you know, they're ready to give up. And I hope that you know, if you're ready to give up, that's good. Give up here. Don't give up the program. Give up here. This is where we give up. You know, that's the ingredient that we must have, is giving up our own way of doing things. For a better way. So just welcome. You're really welcome here. And, you know, when I came to Overeaters Anonymous, I was really looking for a way to stop binging and purging and going up and down on the scale. And that's what I was looking for. I was not looking for a spiritual experience. In fact, many people you've ever heard me share, I ran out of my first meeting because they talked about God. It was just not a word really in my vocabulary, and it was a little freaked me out. But the people in the room did have a solution to a problem that I could not think or try or do anything to get out of on my own. And what they told me is that I didn't have to believe in anything specific. I just needed to start with belief that, is it possible that maybe there's a power greater than me? And that's the vital spiritual experience. It is a spiritual experience to realize that there is more than just what meets the eye. And I started really small with just being willing to believe that it's possible that there is something bigger than me. That is not a religion, didn't have to be a specific name. Is it possible that there's something greater than me that can possibly restore me to sanity? And we start there, and that is where I started. And I have a friend in the program who says, you know, God, I said this, I didn't say it in this way because I didn't know her then and I know the way she does it, but in my own way, I basically was like, I don't know if you're there, but if you are there, I don't even know if you care, but if you are there and you do care, please help me because I need a miracle. I borrowed other people's conceptions of a higher power. I then became someone who other people could borrow from because I started to develop my own understanding. And so I would just encourage anyone who maybe is like me when I came and was freaked out by the whole talk about spirituality and God. And just thanks and just be open to the possibility. Thanks.
Thank you very much. That's Haya P. currently in Colorado. And next is Courtney J. Good morning, Courtney.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Courtney J. I'm on the meeting list in Virginia, but currently living in North Carolina. I'm mostly claiming my seat and trying to get more comfortable with pressing star one. So I'd just love to thank everybody who's doing service here and for this meeting to be a part of my life. I'm just grateful for having you all bring life to the big book, which used to be at the bottom of my bag of books that I carried around to OA meetings and stuff, but it was the cover was getting torn up because I wasn't pulling it out to read it because it was like Russian to me. And again, the life that we life in that book is the design for living. What do I want to say? I want to say I grew up with my spiritual rock was her who loved God and knew God. I had no clue how to pray, despite upbringing in church and with my mother, who was a lovely person of religion and God. But I'm thinking about, you know what I used to pray for? I used to pray to be skinny while I was blowing out the candles with, 5 inches of frosting on the cake. And I'm thinking about Thomas Merton's prayer for today. I do believe that, the desire to please you does in fact please you, and I hope that I have that desire in all that I am doing. And this is how I go about my day, what is the next right and loving thing to do today? And it's moment by moment. And to live moment by moment and one day at a time is a beautiful thing. I used to I used to look into the future when I was going to be skinny and what I would do then. So spiritual experience, I'm just jumping around here, but mine was definitely a slow one. I've been in the rooms for 30-some years. And the most recent recovery that I've had is that I finally realized that I didn't have joy because I wasn't working the program the way it was meant to be worked. I had everything else. I have a beautiful house on the river. I was retired. Beautiful trips that I'm taking. Yet I didn't have joy. I was doing the half measures thing. Half measures availed me nothing but staying in the rooms, hoping the miracle would happen, because y'all said stay until the miracle happens. Well, the miracle is that I couldn't take it anymore in the depth of my heart, not living my truth, which was to give up sugar. And for today, I'm free of that, and I am living 3 meals a day with life in between, and life is grand. I am blessed, and keep coming back, y'all. This is where we need to be, and being with each other and talking to each other throughout the day, that's helps me get through the day. Even though I'm not troubled with, waiting for the next meal, that's not what's on my heart. It's pleasing God and sharing it with you all. So thanks again for being here.
Well, thank you very much. That was Courtney J, and she's in North Carolina. Thank you all for your shares. We're going to end the meeting now. So we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Dana P. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service this month. It's been quite a pleasure. Welcome, everybody, my friends, my fellows. Welcome if you're new. If it doesn't make sense, keep coming back, right? It will begin to. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own health is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.